our pastor, Pastor Steve, and I've had a pleasure to serve on his staff for about 6 months, and it's been a ride. I'm always learning something new, and I'm glad to be a part of the team. And I booked this probably about 2 or 3 months ago, and so he's been Rachel's pastor for a whole lot longer than he's been my pastor, but I really appreciate his heart and his ability to pastor and shepherd us as a flock. So further ado, here's Pastor Steve.
That I am very excited about the leadership that John and Rachel and Ian are giving to CYM. I mean, what would CYM be now without Ian's presence? And just so appreciate them, and I am very excited about the future of this ministry. Thank God for everything he's done in the past, but he's got a great future for CYM. Now, I want to dispel any myths tonight. My daughter is not absent because I'm speaking. She got sick today and was getting ready for CYM tonight and then got sick again. So she can't be here, and she asked me, what am I going to say? And I said, don't worry, honey, I'm not going to say anything about you at all. But I know how rumors can get started, so I just wanted you to know that that's the reason that she is she's not here tonight. She's not feeling well. And we hope on Monday and Tuesday to go to Memphis, JB and I, to see Lexi. And we will let her know of your prayers and concerns for her. And if it works out, and we sure hope it does, we'll take all the cards and we'll hand deliver those, and we'll have times of prayer for Lexi. Boy, there's a lot of girls up here. That should be enough to get more guys. More guys up here. You know, yesterday I was coming home from Mendota. And on my way home, Pastor Dave and I were in the car together, and as we went by that area where Walmart and Starbucks and all the stores are out there, I noticed as the exit coming out of Walmart that on the median there were four young people. I don't know whether they were teenagers or young adults. And I looked over at them as we drove by, and I noticed two were sitting down. One was playing a little guitar thing, what do they call it, a ukulele? And they were, it looked like an interesting bunch to me. And so we went back to the church, and I was going to be in my office most of the evening and hadn't eaten myself. And I thought, you know, I think I'll go back and just get a closer look. That was a good excuse to go to Starbucks. So I went to Starbucks and got my caramel macchiato, and then I sort of snuck around and drove down the road, and there they were. And they were holding up a sign that said, passing through and hungry, or traveling and hungry. And the girl holding the sign looked to be about 17 years old, and later I found out she was 17 years old. They were between 17 and 22. And I don't know that I've ever seen so many body piercings in my life. Even their cheeks were pierced, their tongues were pierced, their eyebrows were pierced, their noses were pierced. I mean, there were body piercings everywhere. And the temptation was to just go and drive on by and get me a bite to eat and head back to the office. And I just really felt like I should stop. So I pulled up and I said, why don't you all get in and we'll go eat together? And the guy looked at me and he stood up and he said, are you for real? And at that moment, I noticed they had two little dogs with them. So they all piled into my Kia with their two little dogs. And I found out at that point that they had a car. Now, it was a car that looked like it was held together by duct tape. But there was a car there. And so I took them and I filled up their tank with gas. And I thought, I'll get them now to Taco Bell. That's where they wanted to go. And I'll pay for their food as a blessing to them. And I'll take off. Well, when I got in line, I really felt compelled that I should stay and I should talk to them for a little while. So here I am looking Mr. Middle-Aged Conservative with this group that I was sitting with, and we just began to talk. And they began to open up with me. I found them to be very nice and very friendly, and I said, where have you been and where are you going to? And they said, well, we all grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we're going to Chicago to a music festival. It's a five-day music festival. And we are going there to hear one band during the 5 days. And I tried to think how far Las Vegas, Nevada was from Chicago to go to a five-day music festival and to sort of just barely make it along the way and depend on other people for your meals and your gas. And they had car problems and they had run out of money. And I said, you know, it must be a great band to travel all that way. And I think it was either the Dead Milkman or the Dead Mailman was the name of the band. You ever heard of either of those? I had neither. I don't normally listen to the Dead Milkman band, but they said, oh, it's a great band. There's no band like it. And there's probably not. But as we continue the conversation, I didn't want to be forceful in my witness, but I wanted to let them know that I cared for them. And I said, do you have parents that maybe are concerned that you're out here to the 17-year-old girl? She said, well, they probably are concerned about me. But we just got back from hitchhiking on foot to Canada, my boyfriend and I, and he was there. But they feel better that we're going across country in a car. And things sort of came around about their future. What do y'all plan to do after this? And it was interesting because they didn't have anything that they could look out to look forward to in their future other than to listen to the Dead Milkman or the Dead Mailman, which whatever the name of the band was. That is what they were living for. That was their only focus. They didn't have a future. And a matter of fact, I could just sort of see the pain in their faces. I looked at them, especially at the young girls. I thought, I bet what they really need is a dad. And that's probably what's been missing. They just need a dad. They needed to someone to, you know, to really love them. But as we left, and I just wished them the best, and we parted, I thought, man, these kids don't have a future. Well, I want you to know, God's got a future for you. He's got a future for you. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. God has a future for you. The question is, are you ready to go with God into that future that he has for you? I don't care if you're 15. I can still remember being 15 years old. It seems like a long time ago. But one thing I do remember, even though I was not raised at that time in a Christian home, had good a mom and dad who loved me very much, or mom and a stepdad who loved me very much, and there was a lot of love in our home, but my parents were not actively serving God at that time. But I was in a youth group much like this, probably about the same size of this, in one of the suburbs of Kansas City, and I had the call of God upon my life for ministry. And I was always looking to the future. I knew what that next step was. I knew I wanted to go to Central Bible College, and I knew I wanted to go to seminary, and I knew that I wanted to someday enter pastoral ministry. And that's me. That's what God's call was upon my life, but I knew that God had a future for me. Now, I want you to know, God has a future for you as well. If you want to take your Bibles and turn to, maybe it's a verse of Scripture you've heard before, but it's found in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. You want to turn there? See, a few of you got your Bibles. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Now, these are God's words to a people who had blown it. Maybe you can relate to that. Yeah, there's an area in my life, they had blown it. They were in captivity. And this promise came to them in a time when they were really paying for their wrong choices and even for their own sin. But God had a promise for them. And I believe it's a promise for us. And I believe it's a promise for you. And this is what it says. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God has a hope for you. He has a future for you. But you have to make the decision, am I ready to go for God's future? Because you know, the enemy, the devil, also has a future for you. Just as God's got a future planned, the enemy has a future planned as well. And if you want to turn over to the Gospel of John, John chapter 10 and verse 10, it says this. Here, it's one verse where you can find the purpose of the devil for your life and Jesus' purpose for your life. And it says, the thief, or Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come, these are the words of Jesus, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Another translation says, and have life abundantly. So you can read into that verse, you can read into Jeremiah chapter 29, 11, and you can read into John chapter 10, verse 10, both the plans that God has for you, that the Lord Jesus Christ has for you, and the plans that the enemy has for you as well. And his plan is to steal. His plan is to kill. And his plan is to destroy. And you know, when I looked into the faces of those young people yesterday, as we said it, at Taco Bell, you know, that's exactly what the enemy is wanting to do in their lives. And I didn't feel particularly directed to the Holy Spirit to lay out the plan of salvation. I had opportunity, I hope, to show and to share the love of Jesus Christ. But as I drove away, I just prayed, Lord, I just asked that you would send other Christians into these people's lives. And even though I may never see them again this side of eternity, I pray that they'll remember that this old middle-aged guy, because I appeared to be very old to them, that this guy showed them love, fed them, and wasn't ashamed of them, and wasn't ashamed to sit down and to eat with them. But the enemy has a plan for your life. I heard this several years ago, and I think it was the words of a song. And I wrote them down, and I've never forgotten them, and it is so very true. And it says this, sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you had planned to stay. And sin will cost you more than you can afford to pay. Let me share that with you again, because it is so true, it is so powerful. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you had planned to stay. And sin will cost you more than you can afford to pay. You know, if you choose sex before marriage, be prepared to pay the price, because there will be a price to be paid. Short-term pleasure for long-term pain. Choose alcohol and drugs, and you could, the path of your life could go into years of addiction, years of heartache and pain, not only for you, but for those that you love. I've heard a number of people, when I was on the board of Teen Challenge, and I would hear testimonies, and in the executive board meeting they would bring individuals in. And you know what I discovered again and again? That the gateway drug to the much more addictive drug was marijuana. It almost always started with marijuana. Something that they thought, well, this would be fun, but this won't be very addictive. But it seems like for everyone it started right there. And of course, today there are drugs that are much worse. I'm sure you've heard of meth. And once you try meth, you could be addicted for life. And the rate of recovery for a person who goes down the road of using meth is very small, because it is something that is so incredibly addictive. You need to recognize that Satan has a future plan for you. He has designs upon you. And Jesus said it is to kill, it is to steal, and it's to destroy. You think, well, you say, Satan's going to kill me physically? No, but he can kill relationships. He can kill your future. He can kill the joy in your life. He can kill the things that are so very meaningful to you, and ultimately he wants to destroy you. So ultimately you have to decide, which future do you want? Do you want God's future for your life? Or do you want the enemy's future for your life? Because it will either be one or the other. Well, this future that God has for you, there's some things that can get in the way. And that's what I want to look at tonight. I want to look at three questions. If you want to turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to look there at the first three verses with Jeremiah 29:11 being the backdrop. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. John chapter 10, verse 10 also is a backdrop. The words of Jesus, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Well, we're going to look at this future that God has for you. Are you excited about your future? Can you really say, hey, I am excited about my future? As I look down a year from now, as I look 5 years from now, as I look 10 years from now, am I truly excited about my future? Friend, God wants you to be, because He's got an exciting future. He's got a great future that He has planned for you. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we're going to look at these three questions. First of all, I want you to ask the question, what's tripping you up? When you think of God's future for your life, I want you to ask yourself that question, what's tripping you up? And then we're going to look at this question, what's blocking your vision? And then, what's dragging you down? Well, the first one is this, what's tripping you up? Look at verse 1 with me of Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to skip down to about the middle of that verse. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race marked out for us. Run that race with perseverance. You know what can hinder you to what God's future for you may not even be sin? We usually think of sin being the thing that hinders us, but there are some things that may be okay for other people to do, but because of the calling that God has upon your life, it's not okay for you to do that or for you to pursue that. It may be something that robs you of your spiritual hunger. You know, and it's so important to know that God will never remove something from your life without giving you something better. God's not going to say no to something without saying yes to something that is much better. And if you're to go into God's future, it's not only sin that can trip you up, it's just other things that can trip you up. But of course, there is that sin that can easily entangle us. You know, I think based upon this verse that it seems like everyone seems to have one or two, as it says in another translation, it talks here about the sin that easily entangles. I think the King James Version talks about the sin that so easily besets us. It seems like the devil seems to know just one or two sins that can easily entangle us and easily trip us up and easily beset us. Have you ever been like, hey, I'm really going forward with God, and then all of a sudden you fall back into that old sin again? Well, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says that we need to throw that off. We need to recognize that sin that trips us up. We need to recognize that sin that so very easily entangles us. Sin creeps in our lives when we least expect it, and it robs us of the good things that God has for our lives. You know, we can only be freed from sin's bondage when we recognize it for what it is, and that is its sin. What's that noise? Is that a fan or something? Projector. Okay, well, I was just wondering. I hope it wasn't about to explode or something like that. It seems especially loud right above me. But we need to recognize sin for what it is. I've never seen someone really conquer something they call a weakness. We have to call sin what it is, and that is its sin in our life. You know, God can free you from sin no matter how desperately entangled you have become in that sin. And you must let God do that if He is going to bring about the good plans and the good future that He has for your life. So the first question is this, what is tripping you up? And maybe it's not what's tripping you up, maybe it's who's tripping you up. Now sometimes we go to school and we fall in with a certain crowd, and instead of being the influencer ourselves, we are influenced our, they're influencing us, and we find ourselves making decisions and doing things that we know is wrong, that we know is sinful. Rule we had with our kids and still do is this. Who's the influencer? Who's the influencer? You know, I'm okay with my daughter, and I think most parents are okay with their kids going into a situation if they're strong and they're the influencer. However, if they're not the one that's the influencer, then it's certainly cause for concern. Well, the second question comes from verse 2, and that is, what's blocking your vision? This future that God has for you. Sometimes there can be those things that block the vision of that. In verse 2, it says this, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Did you see those words? Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus. So where is your focus? You know, I never was a runner. You can probably look at me and pick up on that. But in just watching track, and I think both of our daughters were in track at one time or another, you always had to have your focus ahead of you. You always wanted to have your eyes fixed on the finish line, on the goal. If you began to look about you, or began to look at the other runners, or even took a glance behind you, you were probably going to lose. And when God has a future for you, and He does have a future for you, you need to fix your eyes upon Jesus, the one who's the author and the finisher of your faith. And to do that, you can't look back at the past. I said a few moments ago that we can make decisions that can really get us off course. We can make decisions that can bring pain and shame and heartache into our lives. You may be sitting there tonight saying, man, I've already made some of those decisions. I've already taken that first drink. I've already crossed some physical lines that I should not have. I've already compromised my witness at school. Well, you know, what happened last year doesn't have to happen this year. What you did in the past, that doesn't have to be the case now. Even what you did last month or last week, you don't have to repeat that again and again. I love the words of the Apostle Paul. And these are some words that you may want to just underline in your Bible. It's in Philippians chapter 3. And verse 13. And this is what Paul said. This is what he said. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I have those words underlined in my Bible, forgetting what is behind. I tell people, you've got a Bible too good to underline in, too good to write notes in, put it on the coffee table, go buy yourself another Bible that's not so great that you can't write notes in it, you can't underline in it, you can't write in it. But Paul said those words, forgetting what is behind me. And if you failed, you can confess that. The Bible says He'll forgive you, He'll cleanse you, and then you need to move on for the future that God has for you. And with your eyes fixed upon Him, so that there is nothing that's blocking your vision. Well, I know it's 8 o'clock. I don't know if they moved that clock up or what, but let me quickly finish here. The last verse is verse 3. We want to move back to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. I've lost my place altogether here. And this is what the third verse says. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The third question is this. What's dragging you down? What's dragging you down? You know, when you are ridiculed, and I experienced that at school. I remember walking in the halls of Oak Park High School in Kansas City. There were almost 600 in my graduating class. You can figure about how big Oak Park High School was. And I always carried my Bible to school. My Bible was on top of the rest of my books. My Bible was in the locker. We gathered and prayed before school. There was a designated room where Christians of different denominations went to, and we just had a word of prayer and sometimes had a brief Bible study. And I can remember being ridiculed for that. And to be honest, there was times it had been a whole lot easier just to throw in the towel and just sort of go with the flow. And you know, when you're ridiculed or persecuted, what this verse says is remember Jesus. Just remember Jesus. Remember the opposition that Jesus faced. Consider the blood that he shed. And verse 4 says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted the point of shedding your own blood. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It's another one of those scriptures that I have underlined in my Bible. It says, therefore, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I just want each one of you to know that God has a great future for you. A great future. And you know, you may not be at a place right now where you understand all that that entails. I knew that God had called me to the ministry. I had no idea where God was going to send me. And as I look into the future, I still have no idea where God might send me. That's part of the adventure of ministry. But God, even though you don't know, he has a great future for you. And even though you don't know, the important thing is that you are ready for when he directs your life, whether that be in business or whether that be in medicine or wherever that may be, whether that be being a missionary, and that you are very careful to recognize what's tripping you up, what's blocking your vision of Jesus, and who's dragging you down. I want you to ask yourself those questions. I'm going to read them for you again. I want you to ask yourself those questions. Who or what is tripping me up? In your walk with God, as you look, who or what's tripping you up? Who or what is blocking your vision of Jesus? And who or what is dragging you down? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and to give you a hope. I am excited about how God is going to use some of you. Maybe many years down the road that we will learn and that we will see. I remember when Rachel was just a little red-headed girl. She's still a little red-headed girl to me. Running around the church and in missionettes and youth group and just involved in drama and ministry in the church and to see how God has just directed her steps, first of all out of state and then her family coming back, being involved in children and youth ministry. It's just exciting when you're able to see that happen in people's lives. And I believe out of your lives, we're going to hear great things. We're going to hear really good things of what God is doing because God has a great future for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for each person that is here. I thank you, Lord, for each young person. Lord, whether they're in junior high or high school, whether right now they may be having a difficult time at school or at home or relationships, or maybe they don't feel good right now about how they look. I can still remember my face being covered with acne and trying to deal with all of that and how that affected my self-image. But Lord, regardless of how we look or feel or home life or the things we struggle with, you have a great future for each person in this room. And I pray tonight that they would hear those words that were originally spoken to God's people in captivity. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and to give you a future. Lord, I pray for Pastor John and Rachel and those who work with CYM that they will help young people discover that future that you have for them. And Lord, that this ministry will be used not only to minister to young people that are here tonight, but Lord, those that are outside the walls of the church, those who've never even heard of CYM, I pray that this ministry would be a great outreach, evangelistic outreach. And Lord, in the months and the years to come, that we will see many young people come into a saving knowledge and saving relationship with Jesus Christ. You probably heard me say this in big church, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I want to pray for you tonight. First of all, I would just ask that maybe you would say, you know, Pastor Steve, there are things, are people tripping me up. There are some things blocking my vision of Jesus. I know he's got a future. I know he's got plans for my life, but there are things blocking my vision of Jesus. Or there are things or there are people who are dragging me down. And tonight I want prayer. I want prayer that I will both see and understand God's future for me. Would you lift your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Yeah. Use some of your hands tonight. Yes. Yes. I want to pray for you right where you are. Father, you see the hands of these, your children, tonight. And Lord, no matter how old we get, we're still your kids. We're still your children. And I would ask, Lord, that right now you would minister to each person who lifted their hand. There's something that's maybe blocking their vision of Jesus. There is something that is tripping them up. There is maybe someone who is dragging them down. Lord, help them to take steps, and I know that you're going to help them to take bold steps to take their stand for you. There may be some relationships that they need to step back from. There may be some things that they do that may not necessarily be sin in themselves, but they're consuming so much of their time that they really don't spend any time in your word and in prayer and just being in your presence. Maybe there are some who lifted their hands who have failed in some way. They've crossed a line that they knew they should have never crossed. They've drank or used drugs, and they knew they should not have done that. Lord, I pray that you would set them free. I pray, Lord, that they would know that you love them. They would know that you have a great, great future for each one of them. And Lord, I pray that not one person who's hearing my voice tonight would ever waste their life, would ever squander their divine potential, but Lord, that each one of them would realize what you have for them. There may be some here tonight who've never made that step to establish a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you and you need to make that step, maybe you've never been to CYM before, and that I'm not up here on a regular basis, I don't know. Some of you I know well, and some of you I don't know quite so well, and some of you I don't know. But if you're here tonight and you say, Pastor Steve, I need to take that step to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and the Savior of my life. If that's you, would you lift your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Any tonight. Any tonight. I'm going to turn things back over to Pastor John at this time. And John, thank you for just the privilege of coming up and speaking in CYM.